This is The Exchange on KUCB. I'm Lauren Rosenthal. Up today, it's been 110 years since President Teddy Roosevelt established the first National Wildlife Refuge in Florida. Today, the refuge system has grown to include more than 500 reserves with almost 100 million acres of unique ecosystems and wildlife. But with federal budget cuts on the horizon, it's tough to say what the future will hold for our nation's refuge system, and that could have big implications for Alaska. More than 4 million acres of our state, including on Alaska Island, is in the Alaska Maritime National Wildlife Refuge. Steve Delahanty manages that refuge. He joins me today via telephone from the reserve offices in Homer. We'll be talking about the refuge's next 100 years and how to make sure we get there. Thanks for joining me today, Steve.
Oh, you're welcome. It's a pleasure to be with you.
So I guess just to start, Steve, can you please tell us, you know, what exactly is the refuge?
Well, Alaska Maritime National Wildlife Refuge is it's a far-flung refuge. It's scattering of islands throughout much of coastal Alaska, stretching from islands near the Canadian border in southeast Alaska all the way up to the Chukchi Sea and Cape Lisburn and Cape Thompson up there. But perhaps most famously, it includes much land within the Aleutian Island chain, including significant parts of Unalaska Island itself. So it's famous as a seabird refuge. It supports 40 million nesting seabirds and many thousands of marine mammals.
And so it seems like it would be a lot of work to, you know, maintain all of that and keep up with the changes in that refuge. So the people who work for you, what exactly do they do?
Well, we have a biologist who works in each of the five main geographic parts of the refuge. But we also have a team of outreach, people who are great with messages and conveying information to the public about nature and wildlife and the refuge. And so many people in Unalaska are familiar with Poppy Benson, for example, who works for the refuge. She heads up that part of the refuge's activity. And then we have some other support staff. We've got a ship that people see in the harbor there occasionally, the Tekla, 120-foot research vessel that cruises around to various refuge holdings. But we've got a professional crew of biologists and educators and a professional crew of mariners to operate that ship.
Oh, that's great. And now, as I understand it, you've already been dealing with some budget cuts recently. So when you do have to cut back, where do you cut from?
We have had to tighten our belts here the last couple of years just because of changes in costs and some money that went to other places. So we've already dealt with that, and now we have what you read about in the papers, this called sequestration. It's just a fancy word for some more budget reductions. So we've left some staff positions vacant, trying to save money there so we can put money onto the ground in the very highest priority areas.
Mm-hmm. I guess, yeah, what are those highest priority areas for the refuge?
What I tell the staff here is we are, at the end of the day, we're about two things. It's public service and delivering conservation. So things like learning about, you know, when somebody says, how are the birds doing? We want to be able to answer that question, and we try and want to take it even one step further, and we use, for example, seabirds as indicators of the health of the whole ocean, of the marine system, so that the birds can kind of go out and sample as they feed, and that tells us something. And to me, those are really our core activities.
Mm-hmm. And so we have a lot of programs here locally that are, you know, that are really popular. Poppy Benson, your naturalist, comes out and makes presentations every so often. I mean, will those programs be preserved through all this?
Well, I hope so. Yes, they will be, I guess, is the short answer, but they'll be diminished. So we do somewhat less of it, but we still want to make sure we're out and engaging with people. And so hopefully people will be seeing Poppy or our biologists or myself or people in town, at least occasionally, interacting with the people who own this refuge.
Yeah, and we were we were wondering also the naturalists aboard the Tustamina ferry on the Alaska Marine Highway System, you know, almost iconic after, what was it, 20 years of traveling that route. Will they be back again this summer?
Yeah, well, I just got some bad news about that yesterday, but it isn't a Fish and Wildlife Service thing. That was one of my priorities still. We were holding the money to be able to have Doug Stewart is the gentleman's name who's been our naturalist for a number of years on the ferry, but the Fish and Wildlife Service isn't the only organization with tight budgets and budget cuts, and unfortunately the state ferry system told us yesterday that they were choosing not to kind of carry that partnership on. Unless something changes in the very near future, it sadly looks like after 23 years, we may not have a naturalist aboard the Tustamina in 2013.
I think a lot of people will be disappointed to hear that. We've gotten a question in from a local students of Jonathan Crouch at Unalaska's Alternative School asking, will the federal budget sequester affect some of the studies being conducted in the refuge, kind of beyond those, you know, seabird tracking projects that you're conducting? Do you know if those studies will be affected?
Some will and some will not be affected. So we are there's the cuts associated with the sequester, but there's also just been sort of a general budget cut over the last year or two that's been in place. So for example, some of the science work that we've no longer been able to afford to do for the last 2 years has been oceanographic work out in the ocean near the islands to try and figure out what's making that system tick. You know, why do all the birds feed in certain areas? Why are certain areas so productive and other areas less productive? But we still intend to keep our research vessel going, and not only carrying refuge biologists, refuge scientists, but we also support university researchers and graduate students and scientists from other state and federal agencies to get them out there to study, you know, volcanoes or marine mammals or Kasatochi Island is a fascinating example. The island that erupted, the volcano erupted violently several years ago, and there's a team of scientists studying how an island gets repopulated by plants and insects and birds and things like that. And so we intend to continue supporting that as long as we can keep that ship chugging around through the chain.
Now, it sounds like you're finding a way, you know, a way forward, a way to manage, but the Department of the Interior has said some pretty drastic and scary things about the future of some of our nation's refuges that some might have to close because of the sequester. And I just wanted to ask, do you think that would ever be a danger for this refuge, the Alaska Maritime Refuge?
Well, I try. My job isn't to make the political decisions. That's really for our nation's leaders. My job is to implement whatever they tell me to do to the best of my ability to do so. So, you know, it's possible somebody could say someday, "Hey, no more." Oh, I don't know, research permits or guided hunting license permits on the refuge, or you're going to have to close your visitor center in Homer or something like that. But that's not a decision that I anticipate being taken, and I certainly hope isn't taken. We still have people, and we still need to provide that public service and that conservation science, and we just might be able to do a little bit less of it. But I hope it's nothing really drastic. But the reality is, things cost money, and tough decisions are being made nationwide. So somewhere in the United States, there will be, you know, fewer services, fewer visitor centers open, or you know, whatever, hiking trails maintained or things. So it's that's the reality that we're living in for sure.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us today, Steve. It sounds like it's going to be up to Congress to figure out how to fund the refuge system, along with all the other programs that are going to be on the chopping block during these budget negotiations. So thank you for talking with us, Steve. We really appreciate your time. Steve Delahanty.
My pleasure, and thanks to everyone on Unalaska.
Sure. That was Steve Delahanty with the Alaska Maritime National Wildlife Refuge in Homer.